So Shmuel holds that at first we quoted the name of Shmuel, that grapes can be squeezed into a pot of food, because that's considered to be food and not liquid when it goes directly into food, but they cannot be squeezed into an empty bowl, because then it's considered to be a mashka. So Rav Chista just applies that rule, and he says, mashka bali ochalochalu, that you see any liquid that goes directly into food has a din of food, and therefore he says you can squeeze a goat's milk into a pot of food, but not into an empty bowl, because it becomes food when you squeeze it into a pot of food. The Gemara, though, has two rayas that maybe that's not correct. First, the Mishnah in Tara says that if a zav milks a goat directly into a pot of food, the food is tame. So apparently, the goat milk became hukshal lekabel tuma from a mashke. So the goat milk that came out, even though it goes straight into a pot of food, apparently is considered a mashke, not a meichel. So the Gemara answers, no, that's some of the tipam luchlechas al pi adad that's machshir. That little bit of milk by the udder that enables the rest of the milk to come out, that doesn't go straight into the food, that remains a mashke, and therefore is able to be machshir all the rest of the milk. Second raya the Gemara has is from the same Mishnah, talks about a person who became tameh, who was tameh mace, and he squeezes more than a kibetza of olives and grapes, so we say it would be tameh, apparently because the liquid that comes out is considered to be a liquid, and therefore is able to be machshir lekabel tuma. So the Gemara answers, no, the Mishnah is talking about where you're not squeezing it into food, you're squeezing it into an empty bowl, and therefore it's no question, of course it's going to be able to be machshir lekabel tuma, of course it's going to have a din of a mashke. Then the Mishnah of Maisel says if somebody squeezes grape juice onto bread, machlik ba'anavim, Tanakama holds lo huchshar, that it doesn't, it's not machshir the bread to be lekabel tuma, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is huchshar. Gemara has three possible understandings of what they're arguing about. The first sheet is Rabbi Yirmiya, that they're arguing about mashka baliochel, this exact din. Is there such a din that when liquid goes directly onto food, that it's no longer considered a liquid, it's considered a food, or is it still considered a liquid and therefore has the ability to be machshir? Rav Papa though says that the liquid, since the liquid eventually is going to evaporate as soon as you put it in the oven, the fire is going to burn off all the liquid, what they're really arguing about is mashke habali ibud, that it's immediately going to be destroyed. Is that considered a mashke or not? Just like we find that Tanaim disagree about mashke that emerges from olives that's squeezed gently to see if they're ripe for picking, where it's holichli ibud, and they argue whether that's called a mashke or not. So you see there is already such a machlokas about mashke habali ibud. Third possible explanation of this machlokas, Rav Huna bar Yehoshua says that the liquid on the loaves doesn't become evaporated, it turns into a shiny crust, a shiny layer on the crust, and the argument is whether mashka ha'omed l'tzachtzicho, a liquid that's only there for shine, is that considered a mashka, or is that not considered a mashka? Then the Gemara goes on to talk about kvashim shesachtan and shlakos shesachtan, two opinions about squeezing pickled vegetables for their juices, three opinions about squeezing cooked vegetables for their juices. So when it comes to pickled vegetables, Rav and Shmuel hold the sasa midrabanan, Rabbi Yochanan holds asa midaraisa. We have a braisa seems to say mutal lechachila, but to squeeze pickled vegetables for their juices. But each amora just figures out a way that braisa really fits with their shita. And cooked vegetables, Rav holds mutter, Shmuel says asa drabanan, Rabbi Yochanan says asa midaraisa. Then the Gemara goes on and tells dvar Torah chayev chayevela dvar Torah. That we have a braisa to support Rav, that a person is only chayv midar raisa if you squeeze juices from grapes and olives. And parenthetically, the braisa also teaches aid mi pi aid, which has nothing to do with anything, but we just mentioned that hearsay is not acceptable for any edus other than edus isha. And the Gemara tells us not just edus isha, but edus bechor also. It means kol edus she isha ksheirila, any testimony that a woman would be believed about, you're allowed to believe aid mi pied, you're allowed to believe hearsay. Chalos to vash shiriskon me'erev Shabbos v'yotzim me'atzman asurim Rav Lozer Matir. Mishnah said if crushed honeycombs were dripping honey on Shabbos, Tanakama says you're not allowed to use the honey, just as he doesn't allow using the juice that comes out of grapes and olives. Rav Lozer says you can use the honey, just like you're allowed to use the juice that seeps from grapes and olives according to Rav Lozer, even though before it seeped out of the grapes it was a solid and now it seeps out of the grapes it's a liquid, as opposed to the chalos to vash where it was a solid, where it was a meichel through and through and never became a mashke. And then the Gemara goes on, tells Kol Shabbat, new Mishnah rather, on Amud Beis, tells us Kol Shabbat b'cham erev Shabbos shor nosa b'cham b'Shabbos. Anything that was cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to put into a pot of hot water on Shabbos. That's ein bishel achar bishel. If it wasn't cooked before Shabbos, you cannot put it in hot water on Shabbos. But madich nosa b'cham b'Shabbos. You can rinse uncooked food with hot water on Shabbos unless the food is salted fish or kol yosa espanin, sometimes type of Spanish mackerel which could very easily be cooked. It's kale abishal, and therefore you'd be chayiv chatzas even for just rinsing it in hot water. Once we mention this type of fish, the Gemara tells how Rav Asi answered four questions, but Rabbi Yochanan criticized all the answers, saying in Baruch Adavar Kachoscha Shehi Asurulach Amreu V'Inlav Altamreu, that I only answer questions that you clearly for sure know the answer, as clear as you know that your sister is Asur to you. And those four questions were the following: why the birds in Bavel are so fat? So Rav Asi had said that they're really much fatter birds than them. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it's because they were never exiled the same way that Israeli birds and Israeli fish were. Other birds and fish returned, with the exception of the Spanish mackerel. So that's the connection to all these four kashas. It's also Shalom Darshan Shloshim Yom, so four kashas we got. So the second question is, why are the Moadim in Bavel so happily celebrated? So Rav Asi said it's because people there are poor and they look forward to major celebrations, so that's why they're very joyous on the holidays. And Rabbi Yochanan said it's because they weren't included in the curse to lose joy over Yom Tovim. Then the third question, why did Talmid Chachamim Bavel dress so nicely? So Rav Asi said because they're not B'nai Torah, so they have to dress up to overcompensate. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they're not natives to Bavel, so they dress up to ingratiate themselves to the locals. And the final question, why are idolaters so disgusting, of the Chavim so disgusting? Rav Asi says because they eat disgusting creatures, shkatzim rumasim. Rabbi Yochanan says no, because the snake put impurity into Chava, and non-Jews never went through the purification process of Har Sinai, so they remain with that level of Zuama.